far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it is part two of our Toon Zone Chat History podcast. Thank God. And now on to part two of our Toon Zone Chat History. Enjoy.
At one point, I considered you nice people. Friends, you like my work. You like me. You like my friends. You like my work. You are idiots. You like me. You like my work. You like my friends. You are idiots. You can have your fun. You can have your fun, but I will no longer feed to your moronic pleasures. Bye. You people have become assholes, really. At one point I considered you nice people, but now I know you are complete asses. I no longer care about what you say. You like me. You like my work.
I don't really got anything. Yeah, I mean, I think we covered... We covered quite a bit of Toon Zone users, a bit of discussing ourselves. I guess, I touched on that a little bit earlier, but what are some things, I guess, we've learned from participating in online communities for a decade plus, specifically Toon Zone, I suppose?
I don't know. Nothing really that useful, unfortunately.
What have we learned?
I guess they're like what keeps us talking to one another, I suppose.
Well,
I mean, probably like loneliness and like desperation, I guess.
The internet's just another means of communication. I mean, you get to know some people, and just through inertia, you keep talking to them.
Yeah, boredom. So.
Mostly boredom.
I mean. For a while, it was just that we wanted to troll more people and just always get more people on from Toon Zone that would be, fun to mess around with or whatever. But, you know, after a certain point, that kind of stopped because most people stopped using AIM, and it was just like the core group that was still using it, you know?
Yeah, and also as we started to age closer to 18 where we could actually be liable for what we did, that also took some of the bite out of it.
What did we do that was illegal?
Well, I guess not necessarily anything that was explicitly illegal, but I guess some of the more prank stuff could have veered on that line.
I mean,
or at least not looked good when we were applying for colleges and shit.
There probably were things that could have gotten people restraining orders, like when Ishtar was threatening to kill himself in Samantha's lawn because she wouldn't tell him what color panties she was wearing.
Yeah, that's a bit of an extreme reaction, I'll say. Admittedly. Yeah, I guess it's really amazing how Toon Zone has really fallen on the wayside. I think I'm just really impressed with how quickly that downfall became. I guess we're talking about Toon Zone kind of how a lot of the Toon Zone members talk about Cartoon Network, saying it was better in our heyday, but I feel like Toon Zone's overall, like their post, like the posts on the site are down dramatically. I feel like that Toon Zone used to get pretty big interviews back in the day, and I feel like they don't really have as much news coverage anymore.
Well, you know, they banned like half their user base or more. I mean, this was a site that was very over-moderated, so... Well, some boards were very over-moderated, some very under-moderated, but But, you know, tons of people got banned. It's hard to last on a site like that for more than a few years because where if you get three warnings, you get banned. And plus people just eventually moved on from forums, and a lot of the people from there now, you know, tweet during Toonami instead of posting on the Toonami threads.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to lose members over time, but it's a website's responsibility to continue to replenish that user base and to cultivate an environment that people want to post and stay in. And obviously ToonZone's primary struggle was maintaining a semblance of conversation while surrounded by a combination of autists, children, and idiots. So it's obviously a significantly difficult to maintain a coherent rhetoric on the site.
Well, they actually did. I remember in 2008, break the news that Toonami was canceled, like earlier in the day before it was revealed on the block. They got Nux5, I think. Revealed the news, and I remember posting at the time saying, oh, this is incredible, it's just a ToonZone or something, but it turned out to actually be true.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Bruce Timm has posted on ToonZone, Tom Ruger, like, one of the big 90s Warner Brothers guys posted on ToonZone. Like, they've had some, legitimate industry talent post on the site and interviewed on the site, and I feel like a lot of that's dried up over the years.
Well, is the DC animated board still active? Like, do they post threads for each episode of Teen Titans Go on there?
Probably, but I know, obviously their content has dried up a lot. I know the DC website, but World's Finest is basically in archive mode at some point. At some point it's put in archive mode.
That's true. I have a feeling that ToonZone is not the sort of website that appreciates Teen Titans Go.
Most of the internet does not appreciate Teen Titans Go.
Yeah. Well, they probably have a lot of people saying, bring back Young Justice, that sort of thing.
Oh, well, yeah. The Young Justice thread on there is still very active.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much misinformation spread around that Young Justice was canceled for Teen Titans Go, which is a flat out lie. Teen Titans Go was well into production before Young Justice got canceled. They're totally different shows. I personally enjoy both of them. Obviously, I prefer Young Justice, but I think Teen Titans Go, for what it is fine.
I mean, I mean, from a business perspective, of course Cartoon Network would do something like that because, I mean, can you imagine like a 6-year-old watching Young Justice and being able to follow it? I mean, the plot on that show versus the plot on Teen Titans Go. Like, Teen Titans Go is just a goofy comedic show where each episode stands alone, but Young Justice has like this highly convoluted like 50 episode plot where everybody is changing sides, and you know it must have been not very good ratings for kids. I know a lot of the ratings came from adults, from what I remember, and because only adults would be able to follow a show like that.
Yeah, I mean, Young Justice was also a more expensive show to produce.
Right, the animation quality is much better than Teen Titans Go, but Teen Titans Go has a more a much brighter colors, where I think it's like something that ADHD modern children are going to appreciate because it's like extremely wacky, and it's not dark like Young Justice. I know it's not like Tony Morello here saying dark colors make it dark, but
well, I mean, look at Beware of a Batman, making the show literally just black and gray. No one gave a shit about it.
Oh, yeah, that's like the most obvious example of all is how dark that one was. And it lasted, I think, 10 episodes maybe on Cartoon Network before it got moved to Toonami late nights.
That fucking thing bombed so hard.
And Toonami couldn't even, they couldn't even air it all weekly because I guess Cartoon Network wrote it off on their taxes so that they can't air it anymore because they had to air the last, like, 8 episodes or something all in one night, and it must have been losing them a whole lot of money to have that show. They weren't even able to get a toy deal for it, were they?
Beware the Batman, no.
I seem to remember them saying it was sexism by Mattel or whoever because they didn't want to make toys of Katana, and they were saying, like, oh, the sexism is killing the superhero industry, and now all we'll have is Teen Titans Go.
That's pretty amazing. Mm. Beware the Batman did not get toys.
Well, I mean, I don't know how it even got on the air to begin with. Like, don't they do focus testing for this kind of thing? Like, there can't have been that many kids that enjoyed it for it to get pulled so quickly.
Probably not. Yeah.
And I would figure usually they would have something like that, you know, secured well in advance of making it to have it like a toy line.
Holy shit, there is, like, barely anything for Beware of a Batman. I found, like, one thing, and that's it.
Did it even have, like, McDonald's toys, or...?
As far as I can tell, no.
Because they even made McDonald's toys for the, like, the Batman direct-to-video movie.
There was a Beware the Batman Happy Meal that was, like, those and, like, one, like, 5-inch... figurines, like, the only things they released.
Yeah,
that's so bad.
Pretty pitiful. It's no wonder that got canceled so quick. Well, let's see. Were there any other Toon Zone chat incidents that we have to bring up still? I can't remember any, like, anything that's jumping to mind that's...
You haven't mentioned Death Rabbit.
Now that Zionic's gone, let's talk about how his mother banned him from the Toon Zone chats because she saw a shark and an IV talking about masturbating in Death Rabbit chat.
Oh, I never heard this one.
Me neither.
Well, they were talking about, like, I don't even want to say what they're saying, but they're saying all sorts of disgusting stuff about how they masturbate to various, like, child pornography or whatever, and his mother, like, walked in while he was away from the computer going to the bathroom or something, and she was like, okay, you need to not go to these AIM chats anymore because they're disgusting.
To be fair, do you blame her?
Oh, not at all.
She was right.
Yeah. And he was offline for a while after that.
That's funny. I never knew that.
Yeah, this was in, like, late 2006. That chat was really terrible, but for some reason those two remember it as the greatest of all AIM chats, and they always say whenever they get on, remember Death Rabbit chat? Oh, that was so great. It was really not a great chat.
Yeah, when Niv came into the chat the other day, he was like, why is this not Death Rabbit chat?
Yeah.
Are we not ending on Death Rabbit chat?
Didn't Shark have, like, pictures of Josh's sister or something?
I don't
know. It was Josh's mom.
Oh, it was Josh's mom. My bad.
I don't know. I don't even remember.
I don't know if I was actually in the chat for that part. I think I was just told this at some point.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I was there for this.
John, do you remember?
Yeah, but I don't know if Josh wants this story told because it's kind of disgusting.
I kind of don't.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. I was keeping quiet for a reason. Let's see. How did Shark come in the chat? So it was through Duelist Goku, right?
I think so. I think he was just kind of at one point just inviting anybody from any site he went to. even if they weren't from Toon Zone.
Yeah, I think he must have come from Henshin Justice or Rancher Board. Because I don't remember Shark having an AIM, or rather a Toon Zone chat, a Toon Zone forum account until after the chats.
Yeah, Shark used to be huge into like Power Rangers and Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still is.
I remember he would say stuff like, when I was practicing for football today, I was telling the guys playing with me about how great the new Kamen Rider episode was, and they just beat the shit out of me or something like that. I remember there was some controversy where Shark had pretended to be like an older black guy from the Henshin Justice boards. He had like found some pictures of some other black guy in the photo album thread or something, and posted them on his, I don't know, his Toon Zone profile or something, and somehow Harley found out and banned him on his first account for impersonating someone else. I think this was Mysterious. He had another account too later on, which Curry banned. But he used to post on there all the time, and it would be like, are you guys seeing what's going on in the AIM chat right now? There would be like a thread every week from him about the AIM chats. And it would be stuff like no one would understand except if they were in the AIM chats. So it's really no wonder he got banned twice, but all his posts were spam. I think NIV actually, though, did come from Toon Zone. I'm not sure why we chose to invite him of all people, but I think it was just a case where we were inviting everybody who had an AIM name listed under their profile or something, and so we found Lee Monka Man, I think is what he was called, and sent him an invite, and he accepted, and we didn't really know what we were getting in for, you know, because you never know what kind of person you're going to meet just from their Toon Zone posts. Because he used to do stuff like encourage Josh to kill himself and do all sorts of terrible stuff like that in the show.
Yeah, one of my first memories of the chats is of Shark riding Ishtar like really, really hard. And I remember defending Ishtar, not really understanding what the situation was about, not really knowing anything about the whole panties thing and all that.
Oh. Yeah, there were various lines of Ishtar's that we would quote every time he would come in for a year or two after that. It, like, how fucking heartless, you ripped me in two. what was it? I am not creepy was another one.
Yeah.
Generally, if you say you are not creepy, more than likely you are creepy.
Yeah. Be onto something there.
Yeah. Honestly, I like having seen how women interacting on the Toon Zone chat and talking to female friends who have discussed their prevails on the internet, I feel really bad for women on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I don't think it's much better in real life either. Like, just being in public and being hot probably really sucks. Like, I, one of the last times, or the last time I went to Comic-Con, I was riding a train home, and, I mean, it was really bad. It was awful. Like, that was, like, some of the, like, most cringy, like, just embarrassing, like, I'm ashamed to be of the same species as you kind of a thing going on that train. It was bad, man. Women have it rough.
Was there a Japanese guy hiding under her taking pictures of her panties or what?
No.
No, that was Ishtar.
I remember one time he randomly said in the chat, just wondering, but how do you say panties in Japanese? Because he was like wanting help for looking up Japanese panties online or something. Apparently he did that to Curry as well. He would just do it to everyone. He would just randomly IM any woman he could find online and say, "Hey, just curious, what color panties you wearing?"
That's so weird. It's such a weirdly specific fetish to like constantly bring up.
No, but yeah, my question is it just he just wants to know more about what the panties specifically, or does he get off on certain colors?
Well, he would say stuff like, "You've seen one naked body, you've seen them all. With the panties, it's more mysterious." When people would ask him to explain it.
Oh, that was his explanation?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, that's probably, I think he was genuinely interested in the color.
Yeah, I guess he was.
He would also ask things like, "Hey, have you ever been in a women's locker room? How hot is that?"
God.
So bad. I remember watching this video series a couple of years ago. I forget what outlet hosted it, but it followed this group that went from convention to convention to host dating panels, and they would kind of like highlight one participant and kind of film them talking about themselves and the people they met and stuff like that. And it was just like most of the instances were really sad. The people were really fucking pathetic. It was pretty horrendous.
I always see that kind of stuff on the schedule, and I'm like, "Wow, why?" That's kind of sadistic to let.
Yeah, like Anime Boston flat out does not have. Yeah, Anime Boston does not have any panels like that. Some conventions just purposely do not have them, which I can't really blame them for, because if something happens, they go like, "Oh, I met the guy at the con, he fucked with me." And it's not a good situation to have on their plate.
Yeah.
So I guess we're in a good era for trolling back then, because there was not as much of a, escalation of reprisals like there is now, you know? There was not this whole issue of doxing back in, 2006, 2007 when we were doing
I think doxing existed, but it's a lot easier to get away or not get doxed when you don't have to post your real name.
Yeah, maybe so. But, I mean, we never, ordered a million pizzas and sent them to Tim Box's house, because he was the only one who he self-doxed himself. We didn't have to do anything to find that. He just outright stated it for all to see.
I mean, we sent them a Mormon Bible.
Yeah, but that's pretty mild compared to what people do today, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are familiar with swatting, right?
Swatting, yeah.
That's the worst, yeah.
Swatting is a serious thing. My friend, it actually happened in New Hampshire kind of recent. My friend couldn't get to his house because there was eight, stateies on the way and blocking the roads and
someone
shit.
Swatted your friend?
No, swatted near my friend.
Oh, okay.
Like he couldn't get to I think it took an extra half hour for him to get back from a 20-minute commute. That's, because of that.
That's such a stupid thing.
It really sucks, because if you think about it, the SWAT team's time is being wasted, and all the taxpayer money that's wasted on pushing all the vehicles out, getting all the guys armed and shit, for just some fucking 12-year-old calling in a fake crime. It's just
and they do it for things like somebody is doing better than them in a video game or whatever. It's insane.
Yeah, no, and it's thank goodness we didn't do that.
At least the one person we actually fucked over, there was a plausible case for fucking him over. These people just do it for fun, you know?
Yeah. And that would, the only way that works is if they're on stream too, because otherwise, like, what's the point? So, thankfully, we didn't have people streaming their fucking, you know, lives when we were doing this kind of stuff.
That's true as well.
Might have been tempted to.
Yeah. I feel like future generations are also kind of spoiled. Like, we had to wait to see people reply, but now you can basically reply in real time with Twitter. You can easily, like, build out, like, responses immediately with live streams. People are doing live Q&As.
Yeah.
So I feel it's also like the merit of dial up internet versus what we have now.
Right.
Remember, well, I guess we should talk about Peter Network, huh?
Yeah. He did post on Toon Zone, but he mostly posted on the Golden Age cartoons board, right?
I think so, but he would post on the cafe too, and I think that's, you know, he like posted on there saying what his username was, and he said, like, invite me in there. And then he said, I don't want to be a statistic after a few weeks, when he found out that we're all much younger than him, and he thought he was going to get arrested for being in a chat with us. He said something like, do you know all the statistics that they show on the news about all these old men who hang out with the young boys? And then the other guy said, well, you know, you have to initiate something there in order to get in trouble. And he said, you know, that's what I'm afraid of, is that I might do something like that.
Can I actually, speaking of Peter, can I read a journal entry from his DeviantArt?
Okay. Sure.
He actually has two new ones. The first one is from February 24th, entitled, What Am I Doing With My Life? It seems that no matter what I look at on DeviantArt, there will always be those artworks that will take me on an adventure. I would like to note that adventure is unquote. Mostly involving images of girls with big tits. Do I have a problem?
Well,
sorry. Go.
No, I think that's our, let's do that as our question of the day. Does he indeed have a problem?
Yeah, you could say that.
And his other journal entry posted about 10 days ago is entitled, Thank You.
Wait, was that all he said on the previous one? He's just like, do I have a problem because I look at girls with pig tits on video?
That was literally all it was.
Wow.
So, I know that I said I would not update journals monthly because it took too much work, especially when entries get eaten before you can publish them. To note, that was the subject of at least one or two previous journal entries. But I just want to take the time out to say thank you to all of those that have favorited any of my artworks within the past week or so. Specifically the past week or so. I know it's not often that I get to submit artwork to this site, even though that's what this site is for, and I'm a good enough artist, according to my family and friends, who are definitely not biased. right. But when I do get recognized for what I do submit, it just makes me feel good knowing that there are people out there who appreciate my work. I think I'm going to try and get more practice out of my tablet that surprisingly still works. I need improvement on painting backgrounds and full-on digital portraits. Unfortunately, I don't see myself getting Photoshop, the industry standard, anytime soon, but GIMP makes for a great open source substitute. Again, thank you for recognizing my works and the effort I put into them. I hope to create more in the near future. And if anyone can tell me how to profit off of my art, either by commission or freelance, please leave a comment below. I actually thought of a wonderful idea. I think we should commission Peter to design a logo for the anime of yesteryear.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea. What do you want on it?
Anime style art, which would make it even
better.
Well,
he can trace it. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
You can just put a bunch of Mario characters on it. No, that's Japan.
Yeah. Close enough.
Pac-Man. He'd probably put Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And CG would chime in saying, oh, well, actually, there is a Pac-Man U.S.-Japan co-production.
Only two episodes were produced, but I have them memorized. Ask me anything you want about them.
Let's see, and for other Peter stories, there's the time when we destroyed his website.
That was good.
That was classic.
Yeah, CY posed as like a system upgrader or something. He said something like, well, I could make your website really awesome, but it might go horribly wrong and destroy it.
That was my idea.
And CY was like quoting lines from The Matrix. And Peter Network, he thought he was like a real tech expert.
God. But what happened when he saw that? Did he just like pull the plug on it, or what happened after
that? He did pretty quickly. I think he did attempt to post or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, we had all the lines became upside down, and the logo started rotating, and there were all these weird things that we had done to it, and then he was like, oh well, I guess it messed up, and then he took it down.
It's really weird that he didn't really get mad at that, but I mean, he did kind of agree to it, so.
Yeah, he thought it was just an honest mistake. It's just what happens in web programming.
It happens sometimes, I guess.
And then there was the time when there was a storm in New York, and he was without power for a little while, and he became a homeless person with a home. As he described it.
I remember that.
He was, like, filming at the, some sort of camp they'd set up where they gave out, like, food, and he was acting like he was on the verge of starving to death, and then there's the video of where he tries to get into his apartment, and the elevator isn't working, so he has to climb the stairs, and he's carrying the camera, and he's, like, panting, and he looks like he's about to faint.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we actually had him on the podcast, if anyone wants to look up the episode, where we interviewed him about his experience after the fact.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I'm so sorry.
Well, the new guy said he likes our tangents, which this episode is entirely tangents, so...
It is there's been tangents within the tangents, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that happens.
It does.
There's also the incident where we... I guess this starts on Toon Zone, so I'll give the backstory here. There was somebody who Peter kept hitting on Toon Zone. And they were like a transgender person that said they were going to fly to...
oh my god, this fucking story.
They said they were going to fly to Thailand in order to get their dick chopped off. And so they said, well, I'll be back in a little while. And then their cousin comes on there and says, oh, very tragic. The poster formerly known as whatever has now died in a... dick chopping operation gone terribly wrong, and later on they returned and they were like, oh, actually that was just my cousin trolling, sorry about all that. And at first everybody, before they admitted it, that it was a fake post, everybody on there was like, oh, this can't be real, and the mods kept insisting, oh, it's real, you shouldn't denigrate their death, what are you, transphobic or something? And then eventually it became clear that it was fake because they admitted to it, and the mods were like, okay, boy, there's egg on my face. But then we were like, okay, well, we might as well impersonate this guy too. So we found Peter on some Disney live streaming video or something.
My god, yeah, I remember that.
Some weird woman with some hats or something doing a... like a video podcast live about Disney theme parks, and Peter Network was on the comments on the live stream, and he was like talking about how great the episode was or something, and then we made an account based on this tranny person, and we were like, hey Peter, you wanna meet me? I'm in New York touring the world after my gender surgery, hooking up with people. You want to meet at the gay bar? And Peter Norwick was like, oh, sure, that sounds like a great idea. I'll be sure to meet you there. And we never heard from him about what happened, but I have to assume he went there and then realized he had been made a fool of.
I hope so.
And just no, was too ashamed to ever bring it up.
I kind of remember that. Not that whole story, but I remember that part. You should ask him about that in a way that it, where it's not obvious that we were the... Well, he probably doesn't even remember. He's an idiot.
Yeah. It would be obvious that it was us, no matter how we asked it. Or we could say we were in the chat at the time and we were wondering how it went. We were somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know if he would buy it. He probably wouldn't even remember it, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember how we looked up like the area he lived in? And like across the street from him, there was something called the Museum of Sex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That there would be something like that in New York.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more good Peter stories. Oh, I know. When he was in the chat with Curry, and Curry posted a picture of her ex-girlfriend, and Peter was like, "What do you mean, girlfriend? Aren't you a female?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'm bisexual." And she was like, Peter was like, "What? This is a thing? I thought the lesbians were a myth. Don't you know that George Bush made that illegal?"
I think that was just like a really, really bad attempt at humor.
I don't know. But he also made some comment like, "Well, you know, the Pope doesn't approve of this, right?" And then eventually we kept getting it on him. I don't know if this was the same chatter later on, and he blew up and has never come back on AIM. I think he blocked us all. But he yelled something like, "You're all a bunch of casket stuffers, and you deserve to be slapped with common sense."
Yeah. I remember that.
As I recall, I think he left the chats for a while before that because he realized that we're all like at least 10 years younger than him.
Yeah, that was the first time he left, and then he came back.
I think it was pretty, at least he was self-aware.
Yeah. Well, I think first he was PFA Brooklyn, and then he came back as something else, or maybe vice versa, but he had like two different usernames, I'm pretty sure. There was also one of, in one of the early chats, do you remember the person loving the UK, Josh?
I sort of do.
They had like known somebody that Peter dated, and they were like really pissed off when Peter Norwick came in the chat, and they were like, "Hey, Peter Norwick, you're a real asshole. You know that? How dare you treat that woman that way?" Or something. They really hated Peter Norwick for some reason. But then I think they got over it and started talking about theme parks, because Peter Norwick's very obsessed with theme parks. He makes videos of himself, or at least used to. I think he's too poor to go to theme parks anymore. But of him with the actors, or more specifically the actresses, at the Disney parks and stuff. And the best one is where he's meeting with Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and she remembers him. And he's, like, so excited about it. He's like, "Belle remembered me. Oh, my God. I've been here so many times that she remembers me. This is great. She must really have a thing for me."
I feel really bad for those people. I hope that job pays well, but I'm sure it doesn't.
And there was also the group that he was in there called the Arielholics that were obsessed with The Little Mermaid, and they had, like, a very 1990s website that had pictures of the meetups of the group. And they had like a newsletter that you could subscribe to.
Yeah.
Did you mention the Gargoyles post?
Oh, the Gargoyles post, yeah. That's a very obscure Gargoyles web ring from the 1990s, which we somehow found, I think by Googling PFAY or something. And Peter posted this very long, very detailed fantasy of his, wherein he murders his girlfriend and boss, and goes on the run from the police, and it was like a really fucked up thing he posted, and all the members were attacking him, and they were like, "Why did you post this in this Gargoyles thread? You're a really weird dude." And he was like, "I'm just blowing off some steam, man."
And that's how Peter got on a watch list.
I gotta say, I haven't heard the word web ring in probably like 20 years or something. Holy crap.
That's how old it was.
Yeah.
It was a very fucking old word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's see, what are some other good Peter stories? I'm sure there's more, but I think we've covered
what
most
about,
of them.
What about when his power went out, he did all those videos?
Yeah, we talked about that one. That was during the storm. Oh. And he did the video of him walking up the stairs. That we mentioned that, but that was really funny, yeah. And we had him on the podcast after. You might have to go to Cybernaut's cast to find that one, if anyone is listening. Are we still planning to have him back on?
Yeah, I keep forgetting to follow back up with him. I will do that at some point, eventually. I mean, probably we can't do the year in review, but we can figure out some other garbage topic to have him discuss his insanity, I suppose.
April Fool's Day, have him on because he's a fool.
There you go.
We'll think up something, that's for sure.
Yeah, poor I'm Peter. Having a hard time remembering any other good Peter stories. I know he used to talk a lot about jacking off in the chats. And he would do it to, like, Curry. He would be like, "Hey, why don't you post some pictures in here? I haven't jacked off in a while."
Jesus, I don't remember that.
And she was, like, half his age.
Underage.
Yeah.
Less than half, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's fucking horrible.
God.
He's a very creepy guy. He always tweets at random, like, porn actresses. Saying that, using the hashtag I'm depraved always with his tweets.
You gotta be seriously shameless to, like, follow porn stars on Twitter, I think. That's like, I mean...
to tweet at them.
Yeah, you should have, like, some amount of shame about that, I think.
Think. You would think.
Yeah.
Remember the... Oh, this is another good Peter story. The video of his workplace that we found.
I kind of do remember that.
Wait, the Spider-Man one?
No, his employer, they had a video, and I think it was on the Zymed forum. Landstander had posted it on there. I don't know how he found it, but he found this video of Peter Network with a bunch of retarded people, and they were all like carrying boxes around and typing really slowly, and they're like, "I find stuff to do here, and it's really great." It was just a hilarious video. I think that is probably the last place Peter Network worked, unless he's didn't he have a job interview at Starbucks a few months ago, Daft?
I at one point maybe.
I think he must not have gotten the job, though.
I'm going to assume he didn't get the job. I just can't imagine. Like, he's clearly on rent-controlled housing, but or some sort of specialized housing to be able to afford to live in New York City. But I just don't understand how he's still able to afford the low rent to begin with.
Well, when we first met him, he... lived with his parents at age like 35 or something. I don't know how old he is, but But he eventually moved out.
So sad.
And he somehow has an apartment of his own, but I don't understand how. I think he must get disability and rent control and like public housing and various welfare programs probably pay for him.
That can't add up enough to cover all of that, though.
Well, it, you know that there are blacks in New York City.
What?
You know there are like Puerto Ricans, blacks, all sorts of people who live in New York City that live in, you know, with very little income or, you know, none, and they still have
housing.
You've
seen what Peter's place looks like. Like looks like he doesn't live in a crack den.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's true that he's able to afford enough electricity for that video where he has like 15. Like video game consoles or whatever, and he's got the wiring, you know, a bunch of power strips and everything.
Yeah.
He put this out like 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. I don't know if it's still up there. He's deleted a bunch of the old videos, but I mean, he doesn't seem to be poor. He has like an R2-D2 droid that he sends around the house via remote control, and he was able to go to theme parks dozens of times at one point, so somehow he's able to make ends meet. Maybe his parents fund it or something.
Yeah, there must be more at play there that we are not privy to. We'll have to find out at some point.
His parents are rich or whatever, and they can just afford to pay for him to live on his own.
Yeah, probably.
They wanted him out of the house that badly, they paid for a separate apartment.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They probably got tired of him masturbating at all hours of the day.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see.
We haven't really talked about Toon Radio at all. Actually, this brings up a discussion point I forgot to bring up earlier. So, on Toon Radio, one of the programs, or most popular programs, was an outfit called Geek Knights. And apparently they are running a panel at Anime Boston this weekend. And the panel they are running is an identical concept to what my anime club ran last year, which was a how to run an anime club panel. So I kind of want to show up to this panel and mess with these Geek Knights people. But I haven't landed on a specific idea yet, so I'm open to suggestion. My current plan is to bring in a fake, like a stack of papers, and just pretend to be. I'm already going to be dressed up in a suit for my costume, so I was going to pretend to show up as a lawyer and just set giving them a cease and desist on behalf of Mason.
Do you remember the
create some bullshit reasoning?
Do you remember the...
It's like they have to stop using some Geek Knights license or something.
The Yogi Bear guy from Toon Radio.
Oh, the cartoon carnival thing?
Yeah. He had, like, remodeled his house to look like Yogi Bear's. Remember that?
I do not. What the fuck?
Well, this guy had, like, what he claimed was the longest-running cartoon radio show or something. And Mason was acting like it was some real get... like a really great program that he had picked up. And it,
I mean, to be fair to Mason, I had actually heard of it prior to Mason picking it up, so I was surprised Mason was given the privilege to run it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he did air that, and I think we listened once or twice, and it was just terrible, but the main thing I remember was him talking about how he had his house remodeled to look like a Jellystone Park or something. some house in upstate New York or something that he had bought. But you should show up in a Yogi Bear costume and tell the guys at Geek Knights that they've kicked you off of your time slot on Toon Radio and you want revenge and you're going to steal their picnic baskets or something.
I'll probably say, what's Toon Radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the most likely response I would get.
Yeah, they won't get anything you do if it's Toon Radio related.
Yeah. But
do you think Mason actually gets permission from people to air their podcasts?
He must. I mean, that he said he got that weird outfit to do that, or the cartoon carnival guy. He asked permission from us to run everything. I assume he's pretty by the book.
Well, doesn't he air all sorts of copyrighted music without permission?
Well, no, he pays ASCAP. That's actually, like, he pays for those rights.
Why?
Or they get royalties somehow. I don't know exactly how it works.
What a stupid operation Tune Radio is.
Well, they only get, like, 10% of zero, so...
you get half, don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did sell some stuff on the Cafe Press website one time, I remember he said.
Oh, really? My God, how?
Whoa.
I think it was like a Tune Radio mug or something. Okay, we've got a few Mason stories we can tell. There's Mason's claim that there's somebody who's out to get Tune Radio, and he thinks that there's somebody who wants to do a hostile takeover of Tune Radio that in the past tried to take the domain from him or something. Do you remember this story?
I don't, actually.
And then there's the story involving the 10,000 truckers.
Oh, I love the 10,000 truckers one. That is a
So apparently the 10,000...
my life.
The 10,000 truckers story is that he used to do during the Saturday Toonami before Adult Swim Toonami, when it was on from like 7 to 11... He had some people that did like a live commentary on it or something, and of Adult Swim action after that. And he says that some trucker organization was broadcasting it via radio one night. I don't know if this story is true or not, but he always brought it up when we would ask him, like, are our numbers record breaking? We got 10 people to listen to our podcast, and I was like, all us. And he would be like, no, you can't compete with the 10,000 truckers. Like, he considered this like the pinnacle of Tune Radio.
I'm just imagining, like, all these fucking truckers, like, just like their radio feed gets cut off, and all of a sudden you're just hearing the fucking Flintstones theme or some shit. Just like, what the fuck is this? And just angrily yelling at whatever dispatcher put the fucking radio set to autism.
Maybe it's the truckers that have been attacking his house.
Oh my God, they're out for fucking revenge.
I'll never forget that night.
To be honest, I feel like the people who are attacking or who are attacking Mason's home. Oh, didn't Mason got his degree in, like, astronomy or something, right?
It might be biology, but like that? Some sort of science.
Yeah, I bet, like, the Illuminati's just going after him for pertaining to that.
Uh-huh. It took him, you know, like, 20 years or something to get a degree. And it was just a bachelor's.
Well, at least he got something.
Yeah,
it's
like,
more than I could say.
It's more than a lot of people in chat can say.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of years on you, Vaku.
When he first finished, he was like...
How old is Mason, actually? How old is he?
He said he was going to get a job in Ohio and commute every day from New York.
What?
And it was like a 5-hour drive or something.
Jesus Christ.
And of course, it never happened. He didn't get a job anywhere, except that one time he got a job at the bank and got fired the next day.
Did he get fired? What did he get fired for?
Oh, he never told us, but I assume because none of the customers could tell what he was saying.
God damn!
I don't know. How did he pass the interview then?
That's what I want to know. Yeah, that's the real mystery.
They're probably desperate enough to give him a shot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I can't believe Mason couldn't get a job at, like, a supermarket or something, you know?
I bet it was a affirmative action hire where they had to meet some quota of trying to hire disabled people or something.
Yeah. I don't know how old Mason is, but in all his pictures, he looks like he has gray hair. I don't know if it's the weird lighting, but I don't know. He's got to be up there.
You remember when we first posted to Jaycoon and the Shad Ape a video of Mason, and Jaycoon is like, that's what Mason looks like? I thought he was a total badass. This guy runs Toon Radio.
Ooh, I just got a, I got, at is Hillary in jail just followed me on Twitter.
Oh god. So
that's pertaining to ghosts.
Yeah, we all followed the new ghost account, and now we're getting followed by these various Trumpites that I guess they've all started following Ghost now because Ghost claims to have some secret connections to the Trump campaign. But
I just hit 100 followers.
Damn, I got 50 at least.
It creeps me out, some of the Trump people on Twitter. They, like, are a lot of legit white supremacists that love Trump. And they'll have names like Nazis for Trump or Aryans for Trump. And it's like, you really think this is helping Trump? I mean, this could be like... I don't think it actually is, but the social justice warriors couldn't do a better job of making fake neo-reactionary accounts than the neo-reactionaries already do. Like, there's some really terrible accounts on there. I remember a podcast got in a fight with one of them when they were arguing about, they were saying, like, why is one of the stormtroopers a nigger in the new movie or something? And Zionic sent them a message back saying something like, why you gotta be so racist against the stormtroopers or something? And they were like, what's racist about preferring white people to black people? And, I don't know why he just actually tweeted them. But
I feel like that discussion isn't going to go particularly far.
Yeah. And the same when he was tweeting at some feminists, remember this? They were, like, posting about how men were responsible for everything negative in history or something. And Zionic commented in and saying, like, oh, geez, what do we do now? And then they all started saying, why don't you go watch some anime on VHS, you faggot, or whatever, you know.
That's awesome.
I think we actually lost some followers over that one.
I'm not trying to reference Zionic in this discussion, but I have like some friends who are or people I know who are extremely misogynistic, but they still have girlfriends, and they just say like how women are fucking awful and trash and shit, and like they just put up with it, and I don't understand how they do. It's just completely insane to me.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling how low self-esteem some people have. It's really sad.
Yeah, I guess that is largely it.
Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah, I still tell the Toon Radio story on occasion to my friends, usually when I'm drunk enough. Like how we started the podcast simply to just kick off other people off the website and to fuck with Mason.
The Notaku Diaries?
Yes.
Yeah,
the Notaku Diaries.
We did successfully kill that podcast.
We did. They did not last much longer after that. Survival of the fittest.
We took their their time slot where they were getting zero listeners, and now we're getting zero listeners in their place.
Well, you guys sometimes listen. That's probably more than what they did.
Yeah.
I still can't believe you fuckers actually listen to this shit.
Well, they usually listen to their podcast, too. I remember it was just one week they all missed it or something. And we used this like to argue with Mason, saying that we would do much better in the ratings.
Oh, we certainly did.
And we managed to secure some points, too.
Hell yeah, it's all about the points.
Fucking points.
Points.
God damn it.
Let's see. Are there any other classic chat stories we've missed? I think we've got pretty much all of it.
I'm sure
we had a lot of good points. Yeah, the problem is like we don't have a ton of people on to discuss it.
Yeah, we need TY.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also unfair to give the perspective of an argument, like, we're giving one perspective while some people are not able to represent themselves in this discussion, but at the same point, I'm assuming no one cares about giving those other people their point.
We could invite Ishtar on and let him say that it wasn't really about the panties, it was because she blocked him. He's on Skype right now.
I think if any of these people that we've talked about are actually willing to do that, then you should totally get them on. But I imagine that they won't even talk to you, so
don't worry about it. They'll never hear that shit. That's true. He's in the Slack chat.
That's true. Just Ishtar, pretty much.
Ishtar shows up very sporadically.
Yeah. Well, he is at least, reformed. He doesn't do that stuff anymore, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Yeah, he grew up.
Yeah.
Like, supposedly he has some friends in college or whatever, and he has had a few jobs, like, producing promos for Nicktoons and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, how long ago did Ishtar make those comments? Like, 2007?
I'm going to say 2009, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's over 7 years ago.
People, it was a long time ago.
Grow up, they age, they learn their mistakes. And, I definitely... Some people, but I feel like a lot... I feel like that in that period, like, Ishtar probably would have been in late high school, early college, and that he had plenty of time to grow up and mature and to realize, hey, maybe I shouldn't be saying shit like that to people, because it's really fucking creepy.
It was between high school and college, and he would say the things like, to Spamantha, he would say stuff like, you want me to go meet some friends in real life instead of harassing you all the time, but I'm between schools and I don't know where to meet anybody, and she would just be like, that's no excuse, just stop, leave me alone, and he just wouldn't stop, and he kept insisting on using me as an intermediary and telling me to make chats with her and him alone to argue about it. It was like, oh, it was such a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people in chat, not necessarily just Ishtar, have matured and developed into actual human beings.
Yeah, I mean, it was just teenage hormones or whatever for him that drove him nuts over her or whatever. I sympathize, but he did take it way too far. And it is still a funny anecdote, even if he's not like that anymore. I can't really think of anything else particularly notable that Ishtar did. Oh, I know. When Shark, we did a I think this is Curry's idea. It was really stupid, but it was like a costume chat, I think she called it, where everybody made like fake usernames and pretended to be somebody else, and Shark made one pretending to be Spamantha and like used her font and was typing poorly and stuff, and Ishtar was like, oh, that's so hot, and he started jacking off to it.
God. What the fuck.
Really like that idea from
Curry. That's a good idea. I would have loved to do something like that.
Yeah. That's why I said 10 to 15, because I had quite a few accounts that were participating in that. I have one of Lord Dalmas, if anyone remembers him. He was
vaguely
TZ troll that was like, he posted the thread saying, am I banned yet? The suspense is killing me. Because he kept getting warnings that he wanted to know if he was going to get banned. And I think he got banned for that thread.
A slightly related story. So my in real life friends and I have a Facebook group where we post a bunch of meme shit. And so for April Fools, my friend added a fake account of a guy in our anime club that is basically universally despised and just impersonated him for a while. Like, he duplicated the profile picture, the cover photo, all the details, everything. It was a work of art. It took some people hours to realize what had transpired. I caught it immediately and just played into it.
How could you tell?
I looked at the profile and saw it was fake. So I just, because I saw...
I thought you said it was exactly the same.
Well, he made it to look exactly the same, but you can't fake, like, the friends list and stuff like that. Also, the other account was still fucking active.
Right, okay.
Did he see that?
No, the other guy did not.
Oh.
I'm supposed to be picking up some Star Fox Dalsions for him at... Anime Boston.
Oh God!
They're at the hentai booth, but they're not hentai.
What?
And he just showed me these like horrifying covers. Like I just was like, he mentioned he wanted someone to pick them up for him. Like, oh, I might be able to. Would you post the cover so I can know what I'm looking for? And he just found these fucking grotesque fucking covers.
Jeez.
Are you actually gonna go?
No, of course not.
Imagine the kind of people you could meet there, though.
I'm not going to fucking haggle at a fucking hentai booth trying to get fucking Star Fox Dalsions for some fucking weirdo.
Just wear your costume. They won't even know who it is.
They'll probably charge me extra. But actually, I do like the idea that I should haggle even more at dealer's room booths with my Trump stuff. I can just say I'm being a capitalist.
You're getting rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse.
Oh my god.
I have never successfully haggled with people at anime conventions, and I don't know if that concept just simply doesn't exist in Japan. That's what I'm thinking. Like, because they just looked at me like, what are you trying to do and why? Just really? Fucking buy That's it. Fine. Yeah.
That must be considered, like, rude in Japan to not respect people's prices.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, they're used to people paying $100 for 4 episodes of One Piece in Japan.
Yeah.
I've been able to successfully haggle a handful of times. I know a couple of my friends get mad because, like, they're like, you shouldn't haggle in the artist room. They're artists and they, like, don't have money, but it's like... If I'm shaving a couple of bucks, it's like I'm either going to buy it for 8 or I'm not going to buy it at all. You know?
I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, I understand their perspective, but at the same time, I'm also going to do what the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I rarely haggle in the artist alley. I'll haggle in the dealer's room. But.
Never actually bought anything in an artist alley before.
Honestly, I tend to go to the artist alley more than dealer's room now. Because think about, like, all the stuff in the dealer's room, I can just immediately go on Amazon or eBay and buy it for $10 cheaper.
Right.
Because, like, the DVD sets, you're not going to find out-of-print shit there. Like, plushies, you can find a bootleg online pretty easily. Or buy it from the same source that those fuckers are, that the vendor's booths are buying it from.
Right.
And then... Yeah, so, like, I go to the artist alley because I'm not going to see those artists anywhere else. Like, I'm not likely not going to find them by just Googling online, and I'm not going to pay shipping costs. So I have no, like, basically no wall space anymore to hang prints up, but I definitely have snagged some really cool artwork over the years.
That's probably a better thing to do, to spend time in the artist alley, because you can actually, like, probably talk to people there.
Yeah, that too. It is a little less crowded than the dealer's room. And those, like, are true fans versus, like, people trying to, like, make a quick buck.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, the people in the dealer's room are on the job. Like, they're at work. Like, when people tried to talk to me when I was working, I would oblige them for as long as, like, my boss wasn't, like, looking in my direction. Right. Because at one point, like, the booth was shutting down, and I had been talking to someone for a long time. They were like, hey, get this guy out of here. Sorry, I was just trying to have a conversation, but yeah, it'd be much better to do something like that elsewhere.
Daft, I thought of another topic, which was the times that we had voice actors in the chat room.
Oh, I'm surprised it had not come up yet.
Yeah, we had the voice of Goku, Sean Schemmel. From season 3 on, and he was in there because Yash knew him through the guy Great Saiyaman, who ran the second DBZ Uncensored website, and he came on and apparently he like got kind of pissed off at Yash afterwards, according to Yash in the final TZ chat the other day, and like blocked him because of how bad his experience in the chat was. You know, at first he seemed happy, but then Shark showed up and started posting all sorts of shit, and then Shark got called the Shock Jock by Sean Schimmel, and I think that Shark must have enjoyed at least trolling the actor of Goku. He would post all sorts of awful stuff back then, just to mess with people.
I do remember that.
And there was another one as well. Mike Pollock, the voice of Dr. Eggman from, I don't know, 2003 on or something, was in the chat at one point. And that one went fairly well. He didn't have to deal with Shark or anything, so people were just talking to him about various roles he had had. And
Like his roles in Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah. He was like, why did you buy that, Josh? Or something. I also remember someone mentioning his role in Fighting Foodons, and he said something like, oh, that show's better left forgotten about. So at least some of these actors realize that some of the stuff they're in is just garbage.
I mean, they don't care as long as the check fucking clears.
I'm willing to bet that they hate almost everything that they work on. They just aren't going to say that publicly, you know?
Well, yeah.
I think that basically was his response to being in Ratatouille, was like, at least I got paid.
Uh-huh. And we had the guy who made Ren and Stimpy in there as well, but he didn't say anything.
I'm still shocked about that.
And I think Kyle Hebert was on at one point, but again, I don't think he said very much. He might have just said hello and then left after 10 minutes or something.
Should we mention Jeff Nimoy?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was on that bit.
During the Kuwabara era, he was always posting on Toonzone about how much he hated Jeff Nimoy. And on every other website, too, that he posted on. And, like, the Digimon fan sites or whatever, too. And so Jeff Nimoy IM'd him, and this was shortly after Kuwabara had posted saying, when I heard Jeff Nimoy was going to be working on Season 5 of Digimon, I just broke down and cried for an hour, and I just can't get over it. He posted like this really pathetic post about how upset he was about this, and then when that first episode came out, he was like posting in the talkback saying like as soon as there was any like dialogue in the episode, he was immediately saying this is the worst dub ever. It was like Agumon panting running down the hall or something. He was like, this is the worst panting I've ever heard, and all these ridiculous criticisms. And I guess Nimoy just couldn't take it anymore, so he. IMs Kuwabara saying, why are you so down on me? I'm just trying to take this popular Japanese series and adapt it for American kids, and I just want to make people happy with cartoons. Why are you so treating me like a monster? I think is the phrase he used. And Kuwabara, he didn't really have an answer. He just seemed kind of like dumbstruck that he had... like offended a real human being with all his ridiculous tirades. He was just like, well, it's I guess because I really like the Japanese Digimon and I don't like what you've done to it. And then Jeff Nimoy said, well, just watch it, the fan subs on YouTube then. I remember being amazed that he said that, since he works on the official product but he's encouraging piracy. But I guess at the time there was no official way to get the Japanese version. It wasn't on Crunchyroll and Netflix like it is now.
Neither of those existed at that point.
Right, or Crunchyroll might have been a pirate site at the time. Because before it went legit, it was like a like a fan anime streaming site from what I remember.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It actually had pirate roots. They're fucking owned by the Turnin Group, which Peter Turnin, the founder, was like, I think basically the head of Fox, like only Rupert Murdoch, like outweighed him in the company. But apparently he fucking went out and bought a majority stake in Crunchyroll, which is nuts to me.
I've seen people on social media post saying they hate Crunchyroll and can't forgive them because they used to be a pirate site, like people who work for Funimation, and like, I don't know why they would go publicly saying something like that since some Funimation shows are on there, but apparently Funimation employees, after they get laid off, will say anything. Like, there's all those negative reviews of Funimation on the Glassdoor site.
Wait, so they don't like Crunchyroll just because they had pirates, they operated as a pirate site at one point?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a bit of an overreaction.
You know, they were like, oh, these people used to steal our products and put them up on that website without paying us as their own, and now they're paying us, but we should have just shut them down. They shouldn't still be operating.
To be fair, the people that are saying that from Funimation are probably like, why go to Crunchyroll when we have our own streaming site?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just jealousy. Funimation, you know, probably not as many people subscribe to their service. Daft was saying the other day they have three different tiers that you can buy or something.
Oh, God, yeah. That just confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah. They don't have a very well-designed service. I know a lot of people complain online about the quality of their video player and things like that.
Yeah, they have the subtitles are hard-coded.
Oh, you know what? One aspect of Toon Zone we haven't really discussed tonight is the legendary April Fool's shenanigans that they allowed.
Oh, yeah. They did used to do that, but
I will give Haruhi credit for that, for a site that was trying to act as a legitimate outlet. Letting them go all out on April Fool's is pretty great.
Well, I actually got warned for a post I made on April Fool's.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
There were people posting, like, hentai on the Toonami board because they had a thread called 2Nami. This was during the anarchy period of the Toonami board where there were no mods. And so people were just posting, you know, pictures of Nami and Robin fucking and that sort of thing. And Jacob T. Pasco was like, please post more. This is great stuff. And anyway, I posted on the, I think it was the general animation board, where they had like this really strict moderator called Delia that...
Oh, God, yeah.
She would warn me and Josh all the time for the pettiest little things. And my post had a swear in it that got bleeped out by the filter or something. And so she like sent me a warning for that. And I think I had a... maybe 2 warnings and like 5 pokes or something. They had like a pseudo warning called a poke that they would do as well. And I would get a lot of those, but for some reason they never banned me. I don't know. But yeah, Delia was like the harshest of all the mods. Josh, didn't she warn you like 5 times or something early on?
Yeah, she sent me, like, 5 different warnings, and I think she even private messaged me at one point and said, like, this really... She made, like, this whole rant that was just all fucked up, and I wish I had saved it. Because it was like... I could have gotten her kicked off of Toon Zone for the shit she said to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember she was very widely hated on the site.
I recall she said something along the lines of nobody would believe you if they, or some, I don't know, some.
Okay. I've got it started back up. We ran out of space, but now we're back, so we're going to do closing remarks. Should we do something Toon Zone themed for, like, the closing remarks? Like, I don't know, favorite post you made on Toon Zone or something?
Sure.
Okay, mine would be when I told Tim Bunks he was my favorite bonehead when he was asking what the favorite bonehead dinosaur was. I remember at one point Aviator wanted to write sitcom scripts for something called My Favorite Boneheads, which would be about the various chat troll victims that would be all living in one house, getting into wacky adventures together or something. Nothing came of that, of course, but it was a funny idea.
I guess my favorite posts would probably be, like we mentioned earlier, the Tucson Coyote parody posts. There's also, I guess at one time I spammed the Pee-wee's Playhouse talkbacks with chat logs.
Oh, you used to post the chat logs of the AIM chats on the talkbacks. That's right.
Yeah,
that happened on the on the Bobobo chats as well. I think that may have actually been how I found out about the AIM chats. Is I saw that people were talking about them on the talkbacks a lot for Toonami and Adult Swim. So I messaged Mecca and asked him for an invite.
Oh, yeah. Probably was how you found out.
Daft, what about you?
I'd probably have to say my post as Loki after I got banned from Toon Zone and posted all the Uncle Jeb stuff was pretty solid. I'm still pretty proud of the fact that I posted such long rants without punctuation or capitalization, and people took the effort to attempt to read and decipher them.
Has a barrel roll been banned yet?
I think I'd made an account that I posted extremely sporadically with on Toon Zone. I haven't posted on there in years. I honestly just lurk Toon Zone for information I can't find on the comics board of 4chan or Reddit. Toon Zone has really driven itself into the ground.
Remember when a couple of years ago TY tried to get himself banned from Toon Zone?
I vaguely remember that. Did he actually, like, make an account and everything?
No, he used his old one, and he like, started posting all this offensive stuff. Like, he told Jacob he was a virgin or something, and the post was up for, like, several days, and a bunch of people had replied to it, and, like, the mods weren't doing anything. So I think I reported it because he was, like, trying to get himself banned. So I was like, okay, I'll just help you get banned, TY, because he insisted that I be involved with all this and sign in and everything. And anyway, they did eventually warn him for that. And then he made a thread on the Adult Swim board called, let's have an honest talk about the niggers or something like that. And... And then it was like some long automated flame message that he had found online. Like there was some flame message generator that he found, and he posted that, and he also posted one aimed at Sketch at one point, one of those automated messages. And those weren't really that funny because he didn't like type them up himself, and it was just random chunk. But he did at least finally get himself banned.
Fucking great. So actually I'm working Toon Zone right now. And so you know how like at the bottom of the boards when they had the custom like theming for each board, they would list the staff on the bottom?
Yeah.
So apparently the current iteration of Envision or whatever boards online board system they use doesn't support that function.
Wow.
So in each like in the Cartoon Network board on the Nickelodeon board, there's just a pinned post that has the active staff.
Wow. They've really downgraded it, huh?
Yeah, they've really fucking fallen apart.
Do they still have the list of active users?
Maybe.
That used to be at the bottom of the main page.
Oh, yeah, it does have that.
Oh, okay, good.
That's surprising.
Is anybody online right now?
How many?
35 registered, 605 guests.
Wow. That's
all.
Well, I mean, the guest is always going to be a high number of a registered count.
Right.
I mean, it's 11 o'clock on Sunday, so I guess I wouldn't expect too many people on there.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's surprising for a dead set like that to be this active this time of day. Well, maybe it's because of Adult Swim. People are probably talking about the Venture Brothers finale.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, they're airing the Gargantua special from like a year or two ago. For some reason, that's being counted as part of this episode order, even though it didn't air with these episodes until now.
Yeah.
So we got only 8 new episodes this season.
I mean, at least it was 8 episodes. I'm surprised we even got more episodes.
I guess so. Do you think this tonight was the series finale, or did they make another season?
They'll probably end up doing another season. It'll come out in 2020.
Huh. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, I know Dr. Venture, his voice actor, he's in a comedy on Hulu where he's like a main role.
Oh, I know another great Toon Zone moment is when there's this guy that was asking about an anime he remembered vaguely, and he gave like some description of it, and we all went on there and started recommending various hentai titles and asking if those were the ones that he was talking about. Like Boku no Pico and Bible Black and stuff. We were posting those names in response to his descriptions, and it was like Inuyasha or something. Something that's totally different than that.
Like, yeah, I kind of remember that.
Sofiku, do you have a closing remark?
The only post that I ever made on Toon Zone that I even remember at all is on my second account. After getting banned the first time, Jay Turner would post this year-end thing where he'd give, like, awards to every... He'd, like, make this award show, and he'd give, like, awards to, like, just, like, random stuff, and it would go on and on and on, and it'd be, like, just a gigantic wall of text. And I remember one time, I think at your suggestion or someone else's suggestion, I just quoted the whole thing. It's just like, good post, JT.
Yeah. I see. You reminded me of a post I made. I believe it was on a Drinky Crow episode discussion, and JT just like bolded random words or letters his post. So I just made mine like, JT, you are an idiot or something like that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I still don't like JT.
I think you actually got banned for that post, Viku, on the second
account. Yeah. Yeah. That was the one that did it, that convinced them.
I think you quoted the whole post and then you said, good picks. Now here are mine. And it was the same exact post again, right underneath the quote. So it was like 3 times in a row on there. And I remember he would do things like he would decide some of the choices with a coin flip and that sort of thing. And he would make it like a really dramatic kind of thing, like it was some sporting event that he was participating in or something.
I wonder how many of my tax dollars he gets.
Is even he abandoned Toon Zone at this point?
He posts still, yeah.
Okay.
He claims he used to be in like one of the top 5 posters or something, but I don't think he posts as much anymore.
That's not something you should be proud of.
No, it isn't.
He's been on there since the very beginning, like 2001.
Wow.
Does Hellcat still post on there? I remember he was one of the longest lasting original members.
I think he does.
I seem to recall him getting in a fight with Harley because he was complaining about something or other on the feedback and suggestions board, and she would say things like, I missed my train because I had to respond to your post right away. Why don't you just PM me in the future? I'm sick of having to see your posts right away, complaining about how you're not a mod, and respond to them right away. It's ruining my life. And then supposedly later on she said that she wanted to be having sex with her boyfriend instead, but then Hellcat posted, and she had to respond right away, and it made her really upset.
Did we mention about her complaints about her taking care of her grandmother?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the other Viku post that's great, is when he was like, your drawing grandma doesn't excuse this terrible web design after one of the awful redesigns. Yeah, and then she responded saying something like, this guy has no sense of tact or something like that.
And then I made that my, like, description or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Under my avatar. Has no tact. There's something like, totally devoid of tact or something.
And then to prove it, you put it as your signature when the grandma died, R.I.P. grandma.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. I'm not too proud about that one.
There's a lot of things pertaining to Toon Zone I have significant regret over.
Yeah. Don't, it's just the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing I just remembered going back to Hellcat was when we fucked up his Gundam wiki.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He got so pissed about that.
Didn't you use Strawberry Jam's username? And he Jam edited it at once, I think. And then you, like, made a second account or something, and you edited it a bunch more, and he kept getting really pissed off. He was like, I just want to have a scientific database about every Gundam in existence because they're removing the articles about individual Gundams off Wikipedia, and there needs to be a place for this, and my wiki is the perfect resource for Gundam fans, or something. He got so upset about it all.
Yeah.
She's so depressing.
He was so anal retentive about the wikis that I think they eventually did make him in charge of the Toon Zone wiki, but I'm not sure if anyone actually uses that at all.
I think they got rid of that.
Oh, that's gone now?
What? No, actually, no, it's still there, but like you said, I don't think anybody uses it.
At one point they had it where if somebody would mention the name of a show in their post, it would be highlighted. Well, it would have like an underline, and you could like click on it, and it would automatically go to the Toon Zone wiki or something like that.
In theory, that's a smart idea, especially if you're trying to go for page views. But in the end, it was more chaos than it was worth.
I remember one of the big complaints when I was reading that thread the other day. About the AIM chats that I made in 2008, there were a bunch of mods that went on there, and they were like, do not go to these AIM chats. And then one of the things they said was, these guys vandalized the TZ wiki. And they were saying this like it was like some really unforgivable offense, like it was this great resource that we had ruined. When I think we had only edited it a handful of times, because even we were, you know, didn't care about that very much because it's just so insignificant.
You've brought great shame upon your people, John.
Oh, there was also the that guy Nighthammer that made the thread about some Toonami Wikipedia article he made, and we all went on there and vandalized the hell out of that for for one night. I remember that.
Wait, which board was that?
I think Nighthammer made a list of Toonami shows or something, and we started adding on stuff that hadn't aired on there, and just adding memes and just
messing around. Man, we were so edgy.
I know. this was also the guy who made the second thread about Otaku-ken. We should talk about Otaku-ken. The HG thread was first, where he was like, Answer Man is making fun of me for thinking that I'm the reincarnation of Kenshin. And,
oh my god, I totally forgot about that bit about HG that he claimed that. I still don't understand that whatsoever.
Well, all you need to know is quantum shit. Because of quantum shit, the characters could be in another universe. And they are real, and they have teleported here into his soul. Or something.
Right, of course.
But, yeah. This is the first special snowflake syndrome I encountered on the internet. The Otaku-ken. But yeah, he made this thread, and he kept insisting, like, anybody who makes fun of Otaku-ken is, you know, bigoted against my religion, which is very serious, is equally valid as Christianity and Buddhism and blah, 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 and it's a great new thing we've come up with, Otaku-ken. And, anyway, the thread eventually got closed because everyone just made fun of him, but this guy, Nighthammer, made a second thread, and both of them lasted pretty long, like 10 or 20 pages. Yeah. People were just telling him he was insane, and he wouldn't listen to reason, and he still believes it. At, like, age 23. I remember we Googled his name one time, and he was, like, on the Encyclopedia Dramatica page for Otaku-ken. And they mentioned him as being the Otaku-ken who was so zealous about it that even the other Otaku-ken couldn't stand him. I remember there was also the time he came on the chat and started ranting about how everybody needed to boycott the Ender's Game movie.
Oh, I remember that, actually.
Because Orson Scott Card donated to Prop 8, apparently.
Yeah, I believe he's a bit of a Bible thumper, if memory serves.
He's like a Mormon, I think, but yeah.
Technically still a Bible thumper.
The Mormon Bible, yeah. He doesn't burn it like 10 bucks.
Yeah, I suppose not.
Daft, what'd you think of the new Ghost episode?
You know, honestly, I feel, to be completely honest, I kind of feel like that a lot of, I think Ghost is kind of right, that Trump has kind of been saying a lot of what Ghost has been saying, in a way. I feel like Ghost is not entirely wrong in that, and so as a result, reading Lurking Arva Donald and Lurking Poll, a lot of the statements Ghost says are not as outlandish as I may have seen them 4 years ago. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad he's back. I enjoy his concept of doxing all the politicians to vote for Trump. But I feel like Ghost definitely did get into some cans.wave level rages. But
he did it
overall,
twice,
the
cans.
Yeah, he used them a few times, which made me very happy.
Yeah, that's great.
But overall, I feel like Ghost is just, like, I feel like other people have kind of taken this shtick and taken it to an absurd level already.
Really? Who's more absurd than Ghost?
Well, I guess just like reading on poll about like all the shit they do and talk about, like, they're like, some of those people are legitimately awful.
Oh, what, more doxing or something, or what are they?
Yeah,
doing?
Well, with the viewpoints and just being quasi racist / actually racist.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of people would just post on 4chan just to get a reaction out of people. I don't know how many are legit Donald supporters or how many are just trolls, but yeah, there are people who are, like, neo-Nazi Trump sympathizers, and I see them a lot on Twitter, and it's really creepy. I especially am disturbed by the fact that they're now following us. Like, what are they going to do if we, tweet anything disparaging about their Lord and Savior, the Donald? You know, are they gonna dox us or something. You know, it's just the degree of fanaticism among the Trump people is kind of disturbing.
Truly.
But yeah, I am glad he's back. And
I guess, did he say on the show he was going to start in April? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But he's said this shit before. Who knows if it's true?
Yeah, I don't know why he just decided to record a random emergency show today. I guess maybe he felt like that after attending South by Southwest over the past week and seeing all the filthy Feel the Burn liberals.
Yeah, he did mention Feel the Burn quite a few times, and he seemed like legit pissed about it.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic to hear him discussing contemporary topics like Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, he was pretty furious.
He barely mentioned Clinton.
Did he say it at all?
I don't think he did.
Maybe once. But yeah, that was surprising. I was expecting some sexist comments. I was kind of disappointed. And also, there was no engineer, which was disappointing.
Yeah, hopefully he'll come out of hiding at some point.
When he recorded an episode last year, the engineer was in it.
but
I think he's just upset about these rumors that the delegates are not going to vote for Trump, even if they get voted that way. Like, they're supposed to respect the will of the people who voted in that state, but there was the North Dakota elector that he mentioned.
Well, in theory, wouldn't have Ghost come out and be all mad when Cruz took Texas?
I don't know if he's ever mentioned Ted Cruz. I think
just because he's in Texas that he would be mad that Trump didn't get the delegates.
Probably. I mean, it will be interesting to see if he does talk about Ted when he comes back. You know, if he refers to him as Lion Ted, the way Donald does, or if he likes Cruz because he's a Texan like him, or what his view is.
Yeah.
Because I think Ted Cruz is so new to the Senate that he was not even a senator yet when Ghost went off the air, because it's been several years now. I mean, didn't he go off in, like, 2012 or 2013?
2012, yeah.
Yeah. So Cruz would have been just running for Senate at that time, I think, so... maybe he commented on the run at the time, I don't know, but... it's pretty amazing that Paul seems to actually like him. Like, these people on that thread, they're actual Ghost fans, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they honestly are. I assume they maybe didn't start out as such, like watch them to mock him, but now as the years have passed, they have actually come to agree with him.
Yeah, it's interesting. As crazy as he is, I think he has influenced people, Dark Razors, for instance, I think said that, you know, he had become a capitalist because of Ghost and that sort of thing. And there was the point where Dark Razors and Ghost were discussing making merch of Ghost. Do you remember that? And their private message got leaked somehow, and people were like, oh, I thought Dark Razors was a troll like us, but now it turns out he's in league with Ghost or something. There are all sorts of stupid controversies when Ghost was around. People always being hacked. I remember Ghost got hacked on his previous Twitter, and still had the verified mark, and it was just a troll posting on the Twitter for like a year or two after Ghost went off the air, because Ghost's style is so easy to imitate that a lot of people thought it was legit him. You know, he's got like his phrases he uses over and over, like my heart's beating like a rabbit, and check it out on the damn archive. And time for the guest minority.
Yeah, he kept shouting that today. So, wait, why was this broadcast only limited to 30 minutes?
I think he was talking about how he used to pay to do it on that website.
I figured, like, he would have had to pay to keep the archive running, too, you know?
I don't know.
But
but it might be that he's paying for a lower package that's not 2 hours like it used to be or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully he'll find a better outlet for that.
Yeah, he should just do it on YouTube.
Yeah, I was surprised Chris Chan was streaming on YouTube. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, he's been doing it since he got his PS4.
That's probably whoever. Oh, well, did they confirm that someone actually didn't end up buying it for him after all?
Yeah, it was him.
I was going to say maybe the deal for buying the PS4 required him to do video constantly. But that's great that it turned out he actually was the one who bought it.
Yeah. He did like a really gross video that I listened to but didn't watch a couple weeks ago for Women's Day. I just couldn't bring myself to look at the camera for him flashing it.
Oh yeah, that was pretty repulsive. I did end up seeing that. My friend looked away when Timbox showed his, or not Timbox, almost said Peter, when Chris showed his nipples. That was pretty graphic.
Yeah, I think when we've gotten to this point in the chat where we're talking about Chris Chan's nipples, I think it's time to end it.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that one.
Okay, well, if anyone actually spent 4 hours listening to us talking about shit that happened 10 years ago on the AIM chats, yeah, congratulations, you win. Nothing.
Yeah, please send a email to dustin.coplin@gmail.com to collect your free 9mm to shoot yourself with.
He'll give you instructions like he did to German Boy Man.
Yes, exactly.
And please get a life.
It's too late for all of us.
Yes.
Did you stop recording, John?
Yeah, me too.